Worst case scenario.
Die Bestatterinnen.
Hello.
Well, oh, sorry.
Let's start over. Hello, welcome to Worst Case Scenario. You're listening to Keith FM. I'm your host, Helena. I'm not your host, Helena. What's wrong with
that's
me?
That's me. Me, my brain's it's me, not working. You are Sarah.
I'm looking at your host, Helena.
Yes, and I'm looking at your host, Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Helena. And hi, everybody. Welcome and thanks for tuning in to your favorite funeral podcast on Keith FM. We announced that there's going to be some changes. So before we really start today's episode, we want to give you a quick rundown of what's going to go down. So we're going to keep this format as a monthly thing, or like every 4 weeks. We'll do a themed episode in English that airs on Keith FM at 11 p.m. right after the broth, and then can be found on Spotify the day after. So the next episode in this format, Worst Case Scenario, Die Bestatterinnen, will air on September 27th. And then additionally to that, we're kind of diverting the energy to a live format, because we did that once with our fellow funeral director Trix, and we had a lot of fun. We played some music. It was a Sunday afternoon and we talked about the job, and yeah, we want to keep doing that in German to also give our dear German speaking audience a little bit.
Poor Germans. Yeah, but also that we will have always a guest, no?
Yeah, and so the thing is, yes, it's going to be a show that's called Pietät und Pannesamt. If you don't.
Oh, can you translate that for everybody else? Pietät und Pannesamt? How would you translate that?
I think Pannesamt is crash velvet, I think.
Okay, and
but what is Pietät? I don't know what that means in English. Can you look that up real quick, and I will
You keep talking.
I will keep talking.
Keep talking.
So yes, we're gonna have a guest every month and talk for 2 hours and play music, talk about the job, because we're meeting so many interesting and great people through the job here in Berlin and elsewhere that do all kinds of things that have to do with death, dying, grief, funerals, like stonemasons and like the drivers that pick up the bodies and the embalmer that we already had on here. We're definitely going to have her on. So yeah, if...
Pietät.
Okay, so it's Pietät and crushed velvet. I think crushed. So you know the kind
something
of
ugly.
The cheap looking velvet. So
the plastic one. Yes.
And then yeah, and Pietät is a thing that's super important in like the old league of funeral directors in Germany. And yeah, so that's what we're doing there. Anyway, doesn't really make sense explaining this.
Yeah, kind of.
But yeah, this will happen on for the second time, technically, because we already did one with Trix, on September 10th, so Sunday next week, from 2 to 4, right here on Keith FM.
Yeah, it's exciting, no, to have people talking about what they're doing, because yeah, we are not everywhere, of yeah, course, no, and we like to know also for ourselves what they feel. It's not just about the job, but also like their thought, their minds.
Yeah.
And because at some point everyone that does the works with death has a moment and where he thinks, oh my God, what I'm doing and how can I cope with all this, right?
Yeah.
So it's like for us also very good to know how, for instance, a driver cope.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell all your German speaking friends. And if you like to tune in to Sunday next week.
Yeah.
And
we will have a guest, right? Like,
yes.
Actually, we are planning to have, just for you to know, we are planning to have Isa.
Yeah, one of the drivers.
That pick up the body every night and every day, of course, in on his shift. And he always help us to dress them when they're heavy.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very kind man. Very, yeah. Very kind man. We are very happy to have him here.
Yeah, all right. So I guess
let's talk.
That's the janitoring. Yeah. And but yeah, we're gonna keep doing this. We're gonna also address your questions. Should you have some, you can still always get in touch with us and send us your questions and feedback on the Keith FM Telegram chat or on our Instagram at Hearst Case Scenario Podcast.
Every question is allowed.
Yes.
Don't be afraid.
Don't
everything
be afraid.
Because we don't mind.
You know, by now we're happy to talk about it.
Exactly. And also we like to inform you. Every question is allowed.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed if you don't know something and you want to know.
So for today's episode, a thing that we wanted to talk about was sometimes on the job you just have like this moment where one thought that just rushes at you and you're like, oh my God, look at this. And it kind of feels like it's meaningful or whatever. And I had that moment when we dressed an old lady for a viewing and the family had given us all her jewelry and her favorite watch. So we put the watch on her arm and the watch, of course, was still ticking away. And that moment itself, I like instantly took a little video of it because it was kind of touching because, you know, like time stopped ticking for her in a way.
Symbolic and kind of in a way, but also very simple.
And she is, it's super simple. And it's, but, you know, she is in this kind of limbo and like this space, this transitional space in between because she was going to get cremated. But her watch is still there and is kind of like a connection to the world of the living, you know, they gave us the watch and that made me think about these transitions and how if she would have been buried in the coffin with the watch, it would have just kept ticking.
Yes.
But if it goes in the flames with her, theoretically, if it goes in the flames with her, the watch makes the same transition that she does through the fire and stops ticking the instant she gets cremated. And yeah, I thought that was kind of, that just made me think about all the transitions that we have to do with and that occur like on a small scale, but also
everything in life is a transition. If you put it like, if you think as a death, I guess, in terms of this clock picture that we have, is so more obvious.
Yeah.
It's so obvious. Death is such an obvious thing. It's like birth.
Yeah.
And everything in life is a transition. In a moment of dying or death, because we don't know what is going to happen with us.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my... occur to us is something very amazing. But if you take it like it's something that always happened,
it is super simple.
You know, we are not even aware that we are like, I mean, the transition that is happening in the womb
mm-hmm.
you know, like I can I say something now that I talk about birth, which is also very obvious to put birth and death next to each other. But I think it's the same transition. It's the same transformation. Like from something to something. Of course, this is...
Yeah, I mean, a transition is always like a change from one state to another,
exactly.
Right?
And we don't remember. We don't remember that.
Yeah.
So I guess death is
so
the same thing.
So it's from like unconscious to conscious and then back to unconscious.
Yeah,
so just
exactly.
Kind of the other way around. And technically, like our entire life, we are transitioning.
Yes, as a like...
like right now, our cells are dying. And we are transitioning. We are already on our way to enter the realm of the no longer conscious.
I guess we did. We talk always, we think that death is a, such a great transition or such a very important thing, but we did more important things as a, in terms of transition in our life. Imagine we were so little, and now we are so big.
Yeah.
And we learned so many things. The transition that occurred to us from the moments we were nothing to now. And dying seems to me the most simple thing in compared to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only that we are afraid of.
Yeah, hopefully, like in the end, it's a question of letting go and letting the transition happen,
yeah,
and not making the transition happen. Because in life, there's a lot of transitions that we actively make happen, like moving to another place or becoming something else, just stuff that you actively do. But then when you die, it's like more a thing that hopefully... Like I hope that
I'm not talking about
to
fear of the moment,
die,
yeah, of the moment of I guess.
But there are also, I think, so many transitions involved in dying and death and our job. You know, not.
Yeah,
unlike
I would like to talk about that. Because now you, I have this picture in mind that. When we talk about transition, we are talking about everything that changed from the moment that someone died to the moment that we put it on this person under the earth.
Yeah, and
right?
I think that this is a whole big, like one transition, but then
in between.
There are like the different moments and scenes and days, like whatever happens, situations that happen between, like it would maybe start like the person dies. So they are like clinically dead. So
they're not functioning anymore.
The body is not functioning anymore, but they might still be like at home or in the hospital.
Right.
So then they're, depending on how the situation is, there's a transition where they will be like touched by other humans that pick them up and take them somewhere.
Right.
And then they will be put in like a cooler, which stops or halts or kind of slows down the transition of the body, but also is some sort of a transition because you put them like in a cooler, you take them out of the world of the living and put them in a cooler. And then maybe we get them and we clean them and they transition from this case, this person that was dead and was like a case, maybe technically,
like
you know?
A number.
And we, yeah, and we kind of help them with a with transitioning back to kind of like being the person again. To then be ready, or not again, because it's not exactly back. It's a different state, but you know, and then like maybe there's the viewing, and we've talked about this, I think, on this podcast before, that oftentimes when we like come in to wash and dress a body, like when we first see them, it's very different from like
after we have
worked with them a while, and like that last lady,
yeah,
that
the
we
last
dressed,
lady that
she
was,
really seemed to smile, yeah, like she had this smirk on her face after we like put
and
her
it
cappy
was not
on.
The first one, no?
Yeah.
The I remember we had another case. So everybody seems to relax.
Yeah,
everybody seems to relax after like we are taking them from the cooler, as from the fridge, whatever you call it, because they are, as you say, a number. Like for the people that pick up the body, it's just an Auftrag, yeah? Task.
Yeah.
So they get a call from us when someone died, and we say, okay, please go there and pick them up. They don't have any approach,
connection to the family,
any
or whatever.
Soul thinking. They do their job, they do it very well, so we will talk with Isa next time. And but then when we come, yes, they I can see also, as you say, the transition, because every time we open that door after they, also maybe we should explain how it works.
Yeah, but I wanted to. Can I finish my that thought first? Just like I'm almost at the end. I just didn't want to.
Sorry.
So there's this transition that happens, and then after that, there's gonna be like the physical transition, maybe to the crematorium, and then there, like the actual transition in the fire to like another state, which is ashes, or they get buried and then they slowly transition in the ground. But there's like so many individual transitions on so many levels. And yeah, I think that's fascinating. And if you tune your senses to it, you know, I think that's just a big part of our job, is facilitating transitions for the living and the dead. And I think it's a super interesting and fascinating and important.
I don't know. I'm more like maybe basic when I talk about this transition. I see, for instance, there are like chemical transition, of course, of the body.
Yeah.
And so on.
Yeah.
And I like the fact, actually, is that the first things that where you recognize that the body is rotting inside, it's a blue mark on the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you recognize that the, how do you call it in English? The dying process, it's really starting, yeah? And it's starting
from decomposition.
The decomposition. You don't see it from the outside, but inside. And you have on the skin, on the belly, kind of down near the liver, this blue spot
mm-hmm.
that tell you that this person is, I guess, people can recognize how long this person is dead for.
Yeah.
But for us, it's just like this is the moment where I can see a transition happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, I don't know the person. Okay, you say we facilitate transition
mm-hmm.
for the dead and for the living, mm-hmm. which is the great job we are doing with. And the dead person is also transitating on his own, you know?
Yeah.
And this is... yes, as is something very basic, and I lost my voice. So.
Oh, you lost your train of thought.
Yes, because it's, I don't think as a, I don't see as a, I see my transition also when I work with a dead person, like the transition that I experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, the first time I see a dead person is always like being at a date and a day as a, on a date. Yeah, it's really the same trembling that as a, not that I am on dates every day, but this is how it's for me, like to meet a dead person is like meeting a person.
Yeah, so you're
I don't
like
think about
fluttery,
transition.
You're a little bit
genau.
Fluttery and nervous.
Genau. I'm fluttering and I don't think about transition. I think about I'm meeting a customers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in my head is not this transition.
Interesting.
So and then I see
I'm constantly thinking about transitions.
No, but when I meet them.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Breme call us and say, okay, we have him. Okay, we are coming for dressing. And so when I open that door and I see the person the first time when I unzip the bag, I'm trembling like on a date because it's like suddenly the wall, you know, like in this TV show when there are candidates on the other wall and
mm-hmm.
you have to imagine who they look, how they look like. And you have just names and maybe stories that we got from the family, yeah,
mm-hmm.
so on, the age, kind
we
of.
We might have seen a picture.
Yeah, or the cause of death, we know, which also make me like a little bit trembling more. Like if someone kill himself, I'm kind of a little bit more trembling than
yes,
more nervous.
Totally.
Yeah. And so, and this is what, also I don't think in terms of transition when I meet them for
mm-hmm.
the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I meet them and then in my brain starts this moment of, okay, this is how you look like. And for me, they are still like, is still a person.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
sure.
And to understand that are transitating for me come much later. And I guess they come in the moment when they are going to the crematorium.
Mm-hmm.
Or when they are going under the earth. This is
yeah.
for me when my brain starts to think, okay, this is now transition happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have this feeling of transition still there, when they are there.
Okay.
As a body.
Yeah.
And when so I see the different, like, for instance, as you said, this woman that we dressed and she was kind of not looking very good when we opened the casket, right? She was kind of bloody and so on. And we clean her and she was also like, I think more about what is happening to these people, to this dead body. And in this case was like she was left alone, the woman that we dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, in my opinion, or in my view, and my idea of helping the transition, is that I helped her to be more relaxed, to go to the crematorium.
Yeah.
You know, it's not more like, it's more what is in my head, what I think I...
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of what...
It kind of reminds me of what
Carmen Thomas said about, like, about the viewing or the wake where the body would stay in the house for 3 days, which actually gave the deceased the time to actually die.
Right.
You know, so that's a... So to me, this is all... I think about that a lot. And I think about us helping the... As like helpers for the deceased.
Make their way a little bit easier.
To help them like actually die until they're dead as a doornail. Because they are now in this state of passage, in this state of transition. You can play a drinking game with this show, by the way. Like every time one of us says transition, have a shot. So they're in that state, and for me, like the kind of poetic part.
Yeah, I'm less poetic than you, I guess, right?
Maybe. To me, it's like this whole poetic thing that might also sound a little bit esoteric, but I mean, we've also talked about like our esoteric beliefs.
Every time you think as people talk about spirituality, they're afraid to get too much into esoteric.
Spirituality, you're right. Spirituality is actually, this is like, it is a spiritual thing for me, where I feel like the rites of passage that we create and that we help create, help the living to transition into a world without the deceased in it, and helps them to get there. But it also helps the actual body, the actual deceased person, whatever there might or might not be, you know, it helps them to actually be ready to give up their physical form.
Yeah, I mean, if we talk about before what make me thinking about taking care of this transition more and more is because now when the body shut down, transition, the last things that is shutting down is the year. The year.
Yeah.
So, and I imagine that's why we have to help them to transitate because they are listening to us. It's something happening there. I imagine myself lying there and I can't move anymore. I can't speak anymore. I'm dead. But my ear is like, my brain is listening to mm-hmm. something outside. And if it's scary, then it's not a good death.
Yeah.
It's not a good transition. So we make a different transition and being completely dead, right? Transition is what we are talking, not the moment that you are dead, but the moment from
the
moment that you are dead to
the period of time between.
To make clear.
Well, the transition that we're talking about now, I would say, is like on a macro level. It's not the small thing from, that's like one step of the thing.
No.
But the transition from someone dies, is like declared dead, like the organs fail or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
Until their physical form is like ultimately given up, either in the fire or through decomposition.
I wanted to be sure because I'm talking about the same thing. I don't care about the dying process in terms from life to death, from being dead to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Also to disappear from this world.
Yes.
Let's say.
Yes.
And but that's why we are talking about the dead people with name, because we are helping them, no?
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
We never say the disease when we work with as when we dress up a body. We never say that.
No.
Because we respect this. Also, I think this is the most important transition that we have to take care of. So, but it's interesting that people don't get it.
And that a lot of people don't seem to care about it that much. We've had clients that didn't really care about it that much, and that, like, asked us why they would have to give us clothes.
It's funny because then we are the ultimative friend of these people. I feel like when we're doing that, like...
Especially if the family doesn't care about it, yeah, but then we just do it.
Exactly, when the family doesn't care about that and...
We still think everybody deserves to go in comfy clothes.
Yeah, and I feel obliged kind of to help them to don't feel alone in this very important transition.
Yeah.
And let's make the transition for them. We hope. No, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't that know. Is such but a I think,
wie sagen wir, stumm?
Silent or mute?
Mute. That is so mute.
Yeah,
annoying me so much.
Yeah, but I guess it's like our part of like our spiritual practice to look at it that way. You know.
Yeah. Or else, I mean, the job could be very. What is the point to do the job, I guess, if you don't, right. Because this is, we always talk about the Auftraggeber, client and so on, but for me, the client is really like to
that person. And I really liked what you just said, that we are like the last close friend they have.
I always say I'm the last podcast when I talk to them. we talk to them sometimes why did you do that? What's happening? So in some way we are in the mythologies, the Charon, guy that was traveling on the lake and bring the dead body on the other side to the death.
Has that ever happened, like before we started working together? Have you ever had a case where someone wanted to give like the pennies for the ferryman, you know, on the ice?
Oh, no. Then no, never happened. But I think people don't think in these terms, of course. But no,
I like that a lot.
We did that in, but there was more like an idea, a feeling. I didn't think about the mythologist with my ex-husband. We put flowers on his eyes.
Yeah, I like that
something
too.
Because the eyes are so. I think the eyes. This is the most transitional organ that is effective on me when I. Yes, if you. So the eyes and the hands. Like, I don't. The eyes are so pointed somewhere. And I don't want to see the eyes of the disease. Never.
Ah, okay.
They have something. I feel intruding.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, for me, it's like, I think there's like this one expression. I don't know if it translates to English, but there's this German expression for like that's used in literature for when someone dies. It's die Augen brechen, like the eyes break.
Really?
I remember as a child that I have read multiple things where it was like, and his eyes broke and then he was dead or whatever, you know? So for me, like in my mind, and that's just my, or in my imagination, the moment someone dies, like the eyes turn like milky or something, you know?
They do.
Yeah. And that's just the thing that has always, since childhood, kind of freaked me out, which is why I absolutely share that I don't really, that's like a part that I feel uncomfortable with. It's like the eyes. So
that's also because they say, very obvious, no? The eyes are the mirror of the soul. And I don't want to see in their soul. I want them to be private.
Yeah.
Also because we are like washing them like sometimes babies. And also to cover the private part. And also this is what we are doing. I don't want to... see the eyes open. Yes, they make me uncomfortable because this is a transition that they are doing on their own. Being disturbing.
Yeah, because they are kind of like with everything that they still might be, they are kind of like facing inwards into themselves, kind of feels like if you
don't want to disturb them.
Yeah, disturb that if you yeah.
So and the hands is because. I love hands, and I think they get punished from death too much. Hands, because they get very stiffy and blue and so on. And this, I don't like, I think this transition is mean. The rest, yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah, I'm still, you know, I'm always very curious about the hands because, like, remember that old lady that we had that had super neatly manicured hands? And I thought that her hands just looked beautiful, you know, but then that's like, there was like the French manicure, like
exactly, super they were
neat
manicured,
and super
yeah,
fresh. And then also what you did sometimes is like paint the nails actually, yeah, because they turn like blue, purplish, weird color. And then also that thing that happens, which makes people think that hair and nails still grow after death, which is not true. It's just that like moisture leaves the body and the skin pulls back, which makes the fingernails look longer. And it just looks a little bit freakish and a little bit ghoulish sometimes.
Yeah, and it's
but I find it fascinating.
Of course it's fascinating, I agree with you, but I feel like I'm upset when I see that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like when I see the eyes open, I want to close them because I feel intruding, mm-hmm, in a process that I don't belong to. And when I see the hand, I think, fuck it, man, death, can you leave the hands being like relaxed?
Yeah,
because hands is what you use all the time.
But I think also with the hands, we put something in their hands most of the time, like a flower, a bouquet of flowers, sometimes maybe something that like one of the children gives them or whatever. And for me, like whenever I put something in their hands and have that there, that makes it look way more relaxed already.
I mean, I massage the hands very, very, as I love to massage them, and they change, of course.
Yeah,
as
they
can, as for people that they don't know, like the stiffness goes away. And if you massage the body, it goes more and more, they get very soft.
Right, so the rigor mortis doesn't stay for long anyway, but then of course they're kind of stiff because they come out of the cooler.
Yeah.
But then if you massage, kind of massage like the warmth back in, then you can actually move the body a little more and it makes it look more relaxed.
Yeah, do you think we're doing that for us or for them? When we do that, do we do this? I was thinking about, now that we are talking, I was thinking, do I do that to make myself feel comfortable, more comfortable with the fact that death changes you so much? And or do we do that for them? Because, you know what I mean? Is it part of us?
Yeah.
Our fear is involved in it. I ask myself sometimes when I do that, if I do that because...
Yeah.
Because
I mean, if we prepare the body for a viewing, then we kind of also do it for the family that comes and sees them.
Yeah, but we are very into that, right? We want to show people that death is not such a bad thing, and it's also they deserve it to be seen again. Again, they are just dead. They're not doing any harm to anyone. But sometimes I think why I'm doing that and why I want them to feel good just because I want to feel good myself.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever ask us a question, this question?
No, actually not. No, now I am.
Did you ever ask
my motives?
Maybe that, yeah, I don't know. It's frightening sometimes too to think about dying.
Yeah, of course. And
that's why
I already, I've always been a person that thought about death and dying a lot, but and like working in this field has changed that in a way that I think my thoughts are more informed and profound, and sometimes I'm way calmer and at ease with it, but then sometimes I'm so much more freaked out than I ever was before I started working as a funeral director.
Right.
Like in brief moments, you know, like overall I think I'm like at peace with a lot, but then also it's just this constant like flutter that's going on. And then sometimes it's just like, oh my, sometimes it just jumps at you. You have like this.
I feel the same too. But I hope that, of course, I can't be there to dress me when I'm dead, but maybe you are, no?
Yeah.
So please do that.
Yes.
I don't want anyone else. Isa can dress me.
Okay.
But cover my private part and close my eyes.
I hope that I will already be rich and retired when you die. But
I can still come back
from retirement and do it. Yes,
exactly.
Okay, we have a deal.
I mean,
and I am going to massage your hands.
Yeah,
and
please massage my hands because
I'm going to put lipstick on you.
Yeah, dude, like something that touch. a lot of touch.
Yes.
Touch and massage and petting. And also petting the hair and also like not just to look beautiful, but to be more like carried.
Yeah, cared for.
Cared for and...
Yeah, because that's the last time like your physical body is actually in this world and can be touched, you know? And that's also a thing that I had never had any particular feelings about, but then... Last week, I saw a video that Trix actually posted on Instagram or whatever.
I saw it too.
The entire family is at the crematorium they have a viewing and they put things in the coffin and then they paint the coffin and then they all push the button together. Mm. And there's like this one scene where the wife of the deceased, I think, like the coffin is already in front of the incinerator and she like leans on it and holds it and cries, and that moment it just really jumped at me and I started crying because it was like, because I was like, oh my god, if you go in the fire, like if you get buried, then you still like you go to the cemetery and you still have this imagination of the body turning into a skeleton, like being eaten by worms and
blah blah blah.
And then turning into a skeleton, which is not how it happens, but anyway, you have this image in your head, but then if you give the person to the fire, the physical body from one moment to the other is completely gone. And that never had like that strong of an effect on me. But when I saw it in that video.
But it's not very, it takes a while to burn. But what disturbed me about this video and about the fact being, also I didn't like to see how quick this, first it's very mechanic in the crematorium. When you.
Yeah, it's loud.
So it's and then. Is inside and then is the blend goes down the door, and so you don't see anything, but it takes a while to burn, as it's not that this but it seems that this 1 second because it goes in the fire, the door closed, and you don't see it burning, you don't see the process actually that is happening with the coffin, with the body and so on, and that's why you think it's also I think it's the same thing when the coffin goes under the earth. It's too quick.
Yeah.
It's
kind
of quick. Yeah. It's like suddenly it's... That's why I say people, please take care when the moment is happening. The moment of we are putting down the coffin, we are putting down the urn, we are putting the coffin in the fire. It's so quick, this moment, but this is the most important transitional moment.
Yeah, because you have to let go of the physical body. There's no way after this happens for you, there's no way to hug the person anymore, to look into their face, whatever. It's just
and the
gone.
Person is gone. It's not so it's like the material is there maybe somehow, but it's different than to see the person dead. It's really the moment from on the earth, under the earth. Also, so, and that's why, and now, do I have sometimes? No, I don't know you.
No, you can,
Okay, what I was thinking yesterday night, for me, like the symbolic of going, the transition going from material into the not material world, let's say. Oh God, I'm thinking about Madonna now. it's just like, I don't say, symbolic for me is a moment as the disease verbeugt sich.
Takes a bow
in front of the world. And that's why I want to introduce a new tradition to this moment.
Okay.
People should clap hands.
Oh, because the person made it. It's like their final curtain.
Yeah.
And they, yeah.
And I think it's always this moment, and again, drink on me, transitional moment. That's so important. And people are so quiet. And it's always like no one knows what to do. And they feel obliged to be very quiet and respectful, which is good. But why don't we clap hands each time someone... is going off stage, let's see.
Yeah.
And so
I like that.
So And I have goose too. And that's why in Munich we will do that.
I was just going to say, we're totally going to do that in Munich.
And that's because this is the final transition.
Yeah. Yes.
And this is taking
now
a ball.
Now I'm thinking it's the final countdown.
Yeah, this no? And I say, material world, material. So it's taking the final transition is taking the bow.
Bow, right? Yeah, take a bow. Mm. Yeah.
And we want to respect that.
I think that is a great idea.
Yes. Well,
and I think this is a good idea to end on, too. That
was
having
a difficult topic. I don't know if I. So it's really difficult for me to explain.
No, but I think to me, to be honest, this was one of the most interesting conversations we've had here, because we talked about our ideas about the job, like very profound ones that we hadn't talked about before. And
Sarah, I love you.
I love you too. And I really hope that this was interesting and enlightening for all of you out there and maybe sparked some of your thoughts.
Yeah.
Please let us know. Please be in touch. We can't wait to hear about that. And yeah, Munich that we just mentioned. So next week, actually, we're going to Munich to have a funeral there that we're excited about.
Yeah, very nice. Very sad story, of course. Like every death is a every death is a sad story.
Yes.
At the end.
Yes, but we have been creating a rite of passage and rite of farewell and like a celebration of life with the family that I'm sure is going to be so beautiful.
That's why we don't say death so much when we're working. What we call transition. Every time we say. Your loved one is now in the crematorium to do, not to be cremated, but to experience the next transition.
Yes.
This is how we call it. We don't say death anymore. We say transition.
Yes.
Let's change this word.
Yeah. All right. Thank you all so much for tuning in. This was Hearst Case Scenario number 12. Number 13 will air in 4 weeks. September 27th, and on September
20th, September
10th, you can listen to us transition into a new show format and playing music and talking to a person that we work with, probably our great driver, Isa.
Okay.
All right.
Ciao, Sarah.
Ciao, Elena. Ciao, everybody.
Bye-bye.